From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome into this Wednesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parham, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio here on this Wednesday morning. Hope all of you are doing well. We'll discuss some college football playoff rankings as they still move toward the postseason. Although it's pretty clear for Ole Miss, win and you are in some level of access bowl in the postseason. One loss makes it a little hairy, but we'll go over some of that and more. We'll look at some Kiffin contract bonuses. As far as they go, pretty good. He gets $150,000 if they beat Vanderbilt this weekend, so that's not too shabby in the Kiffin household. That and more coming up on today's podcast, brought to you every day by the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford. You can go get those selfies still. We give away football helmets every single week through Blue Sky. You need to have anything Blue Sky related in the background. You take the selfie, you put it on Twitter, you put it on Instagram, you hashtag Blue Sky Rebels, and you tag the Oxford Exxon, you'll be automatically entered into a chance to win an official Ole Miss football helmet. So go do that while you're there. Download the SpeedPass Plus app. Get a lunch special, $5.69, two sides bread, 32-ounce drink there with Blue Sky and the Oxford Exxon. Again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900, 662-257-1900. Call that number, ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what Ford product you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's right to the bottom line. There's no hassle, no haggle. You get your quote, and the rest is up to you. You can shop that quote around. You can do what I've done, but I recommend that you do. Let's hop into a Clark Ford today, 662-257-1900. 1900 guests join us on the Rafters Music and Food Hotline. Rafters Music and Food on the Square in Oxford. Be a great place if you're coming up this weekend. Stop by, get a burger, a po' boy, appetizers, watch some of the games. Great beer selection, full bar, the whole deal there. Rafters Music and Food on the Square in Oxford and also in New Albany.
So we'll get into some rankings from last night. Stuff up at dribblegrove.com as well. Players met with the media yesterday. Neil's mailbag is up this morning also. So a good bit going on at dribblegrove.com. We'll have more to you throughout the day on that. So Ole Miss did move into the top 12 of the college football playoff rankings, which is it's kind of a magic number, but it's meaningless from the standpoint of there's still two games remaining, and that if they keep winning, they will be as high as I don't know. They probably get up playing like at 7 and 8 range, I would assume, should they win out somewhere in there, depending on what other things happens. I mean, really, your big news right now as it pertains to Ole Miss is, does a 2-loss Alabama team get into the playoff? I think that was your main storyline. I still don't necessarily think so, unless it is some just epic battle with Georgia, where there's a lot of kind of eyesight voting that goes on with that. Who knows? But as we talked about, if Alabama gets into the playoff, then the number 3 team in the SEC would get the Sugar Bowl berth. If Alabama does not get into the playoff, then the number 3 team in the SEC, unless they jumped Alabama, would get the Peach or something else. So, yeah, that's kind of there. You just, whether you're going to Atlanta or New Orleans or whatever you do, should they win out. Been about a lot of some confusion. We talked about this on Saturday night, but I see some people on the message board being a little confused by it. It has nothing to do with conference finish. It has nothing to do with any other ranking other than the college football playoff ranking. And the number 3 team in the SEC from the college football playoff ranking is either in the Sugar Bowl if two teams are in the playoff, or they would get an at-large bid if they are high enough to warrant an at-large bid. I mean, the SEC is not guaranteed 3 teams. So should Alabama get a Sugar Bowl, Ole Miss would need to be in good position to be in, which in my mind would probably be winning out. If you lose, I have a hard time getting them there if that was the scenario.
Yeah, if you just win these last two games, you're either going to New Orleans or likely Atlanta.
That is correct, yes.
I mean, simple as that.
10-2, you're in something. They'll send you.
Depends on what happens with Alabama.
Yes. If you're worried about getting jumped, and if you lose a game, A&M would be in best position to jump you. They are currently sitting at 16. So if they won out, they got to 9-3. Their path would look very similar to what Ole Miss did in 14, where they were 9-3 and needed some losses.
Yeah.
And and jumped over somebody. So that would be A&M's path. I know there's a lot of talk about Mississippi State, but frankly, there's such a gap. I can't even see State jumping Ole Miss should State beat Ole Miss. I mean, we're talking 12-25. That's a humongous jump off one game. So I don't.
But here's
know.
The bottom line: just win.
Well, yeah, sure.
Just go beat Mississippi State by 1 point.
Yeah, it can look like anything. It doesn't.
Just go win the game. You know what's in front of you. You know what the deal is. Just go win the game. You're 10-2, and at that point, you go, hey, if Alabama goes to the Sugar Bowl, cool, we'll go to whatever. And if Alabama's in the playoff, cool, we'll go to the Sugar Bowl. It's really not that complicated. The people that talk it till they're blue in the face about, well, what if? Well, don't take that chance. And if you end up losing to Mississippi State and you get knocked out, well, that's on you. You lost. Go win. It's not complicated.
I would assume Citrus Bowl is the floor for Ole Miss right now. I mean, Outback at the worst.
I would think, yeah, I mean, so the Citrus Bowl would have to choose between
Ole Miss and State if A&M got into the Access.
Yeah, I don't see A&M getting into the Access Bowls. It's from 16 where they are right now. It's going to be really hard to pull.
Well, they would just need losses in front of them.
Yeah.
You move up because of losses. Because you look at it, I mean, if A&M's path here is Oklahoma maybe losing again, Wisconsin losing, or them just jumping Wisconsin, one or the other. Because, I mean, who's A&M have left, too? It's LSU.
That's it. They have Prairie View and
oh,
then
really?
LSU.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the problem. They can do nothing else themselves from a game control or a win standpoint. They
right.
can't help themselves
no,
at all.
No, not at all.
So they're sitting there hoping.
And I'm just telling you, they're walking into a hornet's nest the last game in Baton Rouge.
Really? I think so.
No, I'm just telling you. Book it. LSU's going to show that night.
You're surprised they've kept showing.
I am, and they will show that night. A&M will have to play a really clean football game to win in Baton Rouge. I'm just telling you. Book it. If I'm wrong, it won't be the first time, but I think they're walking into an absolute trap that night.
Yeah, I did see that somebody said, if you know, talk about the change in perception here. If Ole Miss, if we were already in that 12-team playoff thing, today Ole Miss would be set to play Cincinnati in a first-round game. Would be how it was set up.
They'd play it. It would be in Cincinnati,
that is
right?
Correct. Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd like the Rebels' chances.
Yeah, your matchups right now, if we had a college football playoff, just as of this moment, would be Georgia, Alabama, Oregon, and Ohio State getting byes.
Okay.
And then it would be Cincinnati hosting Ole Miss, Michigan hosting Baylor.
Ooh, that'd be a good game.
Michigan State hosting Wake Forest.
That'd be interesting.
And Notre Dame hosting Oklahoma State.
Ooh.
And if Ole Miss won, they would play Ohio State in a neutral site. Would be how the playoff would work.
So the quarterfinals, if it went by scratch, would be Ole Miss, Ohio State.
Correct. Oregon, Michigan.
Okay.
Alabama, Michigan State.
Okay.
And Georgia, Notre Dame.
Okay.
It works.
Works
very much so.
I've always said it works.
Yeah.
Be a great New Year's Day.
Yeah.
You can book that where you'd start one on the East Coast and slide it west over the course of the day.
Yeah.
Everybody will watch.
The question for me is going to be, and I think we're at a point where upsets will throw this thing off, but let's assume this thing goes scratch for a couple weeks from the playoff standpoint. Georgia's in no matter what. We know that.
Yeah.
Oregon sitting at number 3. They win the Pac-12. They're in. It's hard to see them getting jumped.
Who do they have left?
I would assume Oregon State in the Civil War.
Well, it'll be a tough game.
And then whomever else. I'm not sure who's in their other week.
I'll pull up Oregon football. I'm curious.
Okay. And then obviously Ohio State wins out there in. They're currently 9-1. They would win the Big Ten. They would be in. Cincinnati is sitting at 5 right now. 10-0. I don't think Michigan or Michigan State can jump Cincinnati without winning the league. And if they win the league, then Ohio State loses, and I think they fall below Cincinnati. So to me, the question remains from a Cincinnati standpoint, as we've been talking about this, because I know Neil talks about TV doesn't want them in, and I agree. But you're going to need some kind of weird something to happen based off where these rankings are right now. You're going to need Notre Dame, Oklahoma State, or Wake Forest to jump them. And I don't know how you get there from 8, 9, 10 into 4 over a team that doesn't lose.
Oregon the rest of the way. It's Utah Saturday. It's there in Salt Lake City. Home against Oregon State.
So they got a chore left.
And then the Pac-12 title game, which would be against...
I don't know who's on the south down there.
Yeah, I have no clue.
Yeah, I don't know who's good. Like, I don't know what
they're... Is that right. Arizona State? Although Arizona State's got to play Oregon State this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no idea who's winning the South.
Okay. But you know what I mean? Like, the question is, like, can Notre Dame jump Cincinnati from five spots back? Like, I don't
think so. And then Notre Dame lost to Cincinnati at home.
I think Cincinnati's actually in pretty decent shape here, barring they just need one upset. I mean, you're going to get it. You know where this damn thing's headed. It's does 10-2 Alabama or 11-2 Alabama get in ahead of Cincinnati that's undefeated after losing to Georgia? I feel like that's where we're headed.
Say it again.
Would the two-loss Alabama stay ahead of Cincinnati? I think that's the question here for Cincinnati.
I think if Alabama's leading that game a good bit and ends up losing by less than a touchdown, probably.
Probably stays at four.
Yeah.
The but now problem you put them at four, them, they play again.
They play at four, you turn around and play right again.
And do they just do that, or do you manipulate it? Well, it's hard to – but I understand I don't want them to play again, so I'm cool manipulating it. But that looks stupid when you manipulate it at the same time.
So you think they manipulate it to get them to three, or they manipulate them to move them to five?
If you're leaving them in, I think they have a tendency to want to manipulate them to three. But that makes no freaking sense from any type of thing to do that.
How would you get Alabama to three with two losses?
Well, you don't. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But you don't want them to play the next week. So, but it's not like they have a rule in the book that goes, hey, the conference championship can't be.
If it's an epic game, though, a lot of the country would say, let's play it again.
Yeah, go ahead. Line it back up.
If I'm Georgia, I'm pissed at that.
Oh, yeah. God, I got to beat them over and over and over again. Yeah, for Georgia, it'd be a little bit of a complicated route. Alabama, Ohio State. Be a little bit of a gauntlet there.
I mean, it's the part of it I don't like, but I get it. Cincinnati is not a top four team.
No.
Cincinnati wouldn't finish in the top four in the SEC. Hell, they wouldn't finish in the top four in the SEC West. They're not a top four team. The Ritter kid's a good quarterback. He's a good coach. They play a good brand of football, but they're not as talented as Ohio State would whip them in the Battle of Ohio.
You could actually do that, Grind. You could, because Georgia would have a loss and not be the conference title winner, you could put Ohio State at one and put Georgia at two.
This is if Alabama beats Georgia?
Yes.
Yes. Well, that's easy.
Yeah, you could do that.
If Alabama beats Georgia, it's a walk in the park fixing it.
Yeah. But if Georgia wins by 1 point, there's no justification for anything else. Yeah. But I think it's a one-loss Big 12 team getting a conference title and jumping Cincinnati, even with no losses, or it's that. That's the only way I see them falling out of the four with any kind of upset at all.
Yeah.
They're in decent shape. I mean, I at least give them a puncher's chance for the first time. I kind of didn't. I thought they would find ways to manipulate it, and I still probably think they do. But it's the first time where I look at it analytically and go, maybe.
I would have no objection if they just held a press conference and said, look, this is not what we want for TV, so screw it. Cool. I get it. Who outside of metropolitan Cincinnati would care? Besides the people in Memphis who think the whole world's out to get them. Those people are annoying as hell. And some of them are my friends, but I...
My only argument against that, if that's the case, then just don't put them in the ranking at all. Then don't rank them. Make it a power five.
Break away and do what you should have done a long time ago. Call it. I'm tired of all the little school stuff. I'm sick of it. I'm completely exhausted from it. I'm tired of hearing about it. I'm tired of Memphis whining and SMU. No one cares. You're not in a league because you offer nothing to a league.
Kind of, I mean, should Ole Miss win out, and we're doing some sort of New Year's Six here in a month and a half, I kind of want Bama to end up in the Sugar Bowl because I'm tired of Ole Miss playing Oklahoma State. I kind of would like something fresh.
Is that who it would be again?
As of right now, it would be Ole Miss, Oklahoma State in the Sugar Bowl.
Of course, Oklahoma State's got a couple of games left, don't they?
I've got them right here. Oklahoma State's remaining schedule is Texas Tech and Oklahoma.
Yeah, so I mean.
Yeah, I just mean right now.
Yeah.
That's all. I mean, I would much rather cover Ole Miss, Notre Dame, and Atlanta than Ole Miss, Oklahoma State, and New Orleans.
Oh, sure.
Without even a thought of a doubt. Yeah, Oklahoma or Oklahoma State still can end there. Baylor's got two losses is Baylor's problem at 11. I mean, they can get into the thing, but it's going to be hard to maneuver beyond that. Baylor's remaining schedule, Kansas State, Texas Tech. And then who does Oklahoma play this week?
Oklahoma plays Iowa State at home.
That's right. So Oklahoma and Oklahoma State both have a lot of work remaining.
Yeah.
Two tough games, both of them.
There's still games. I mean, it all...
It sorts itself out.
99 times out of 100, it sorts itself out.
Yeah.
I mean, you go back through, the 20 years, and you can only point to a couple of teams, you're like, they got screwed.
Yeah.
Auburn 04, and... See, there's one other team that kind of got screwed. But that's in 20 years.
Stuff happens.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part. I mean, again, it's like the Ole Miss thing we just talked about, right? If Ole Miss loses to Mississippi State and then everybody's whining about not getting into an access bowl, it's going to be difficult for me to conjure up a lot of sympathy. All you had to do was just go win. You lost three games in that scenario.
Yeah, sure.
And that's the reason I love a 12-team playoff, if you do it right. Yeah, will there be a debate about who's number 12? Of course. But the number 12 team will have had losses. And so you'll be like, well, if you didn't want to be in this spot, don't lose that game. Mm-hmm. Now we're doing that. When you only do four, you have this debate.
It creates some nitpick. Yeah.
Where people can go, Cincinnati is not as good as 10 of the teams in the top 12. And yet, and then you have an argument where it's kind of valid. If the argument is, hey, we think we should have been number 12, but we're number 14. Okay, well, that you remember that 17-point loss you had out there at Oregon State? Don't lose.
Yeah, because a 12-team playoff, I mean, we're not having this debate. It's whether Cincinnati gets a bye or a home game.
Yeah, they're in.
Yeah.
And they don't deserve a bye, and you give them the five, and you make them play somebody at home in what would be the biggest game on their campus ever, and they get their ass kicked, and then you move on. It's where you make it way too complicated.
If they won in that hypothetical and beat Ole Miss, they'd get Ohio State the next week. Could have an in-state.
And that would be great. And then suddenly they're Cinderella.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the slipper's on now.
If fifth seeded Cincinnati beats 12 seed Ole Miss in Cincinnati, and then they go to the Cotton Bowl or whatnot
and play Ohio State,
everybody's watching because they beat an SEC team. Can they
pull this one?
Can they do this? Yeah, sure, of course.
Yeah.
Once you get to the quarterfinals, it doesn't matter who's in it. Everybody's in on the storyline because and if you do it right, that's January the 1st.
Yeah, we're doing a playoff.
And you play in the games in a quarterfinal setting.
Yeah.
At bowl sites.
Yeah.
Everybody wins.
Yeah.
Everybody's watching that. That's a massive college football day.
Yeah.
And you still play all the other bowl games. People are like, well, what about the Outback Bowl? You play them. Maybe you move them off New Year's Day. Maybe you play them on New Year's Eve. I don't know. You still play the games.
Yeah. Podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Settle County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. They're getting local underwriting and understands your market. Leader in condo financing, the float down option, and more. You can find Jason at 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
I'll start working on the MPW digital pregame show today. I'm talking to Jeffrey Wright. I'm also talking to Pete DeWeese, Ben Mintz, all today. Hours in this fantastic chair. God, I love it. Walk-ons, that's brought to you by Walk-On Sports Bistro. They put everything they've got into bringing you game day with the taste of Louisiana. Dig into their mouth-watering Louisiana cuisine like po' boys, gumbo, voodoo shrimp, plus fan favorites like juicy burgers, fresh salads, quality fresh ingredients. You can't help but crave. It's coming soon to Oxford, 1737B University Avenue in Oxford. And then it's already open. Been open for a couple months now. 720 Highland Colony Parkway in Ridgeland. So check them out. Great environment there to watch a game or just to hang out with your friends and family at Walk-On's Sports Bistro, more than a restaurant. The Oxford Exxon Podcast also brought to you by BroThrow. It's a social sports betting network. It's free to use. It's a cool, fun way to bet. No third party, no juice. Over time, that saves you money. You can start your own group, make friends, and invite your friends. Payment happens within 24 hours of the conclusion of your bet. Take the other side of an existing bet, start a new bet, and more. Sign up today at bet.brothrow.com/MPW. Also brought to you by our friends at Muddy Water Camo. Go to muddywateroutdoors.com. Enter the promo code REBELGROVE. Get 35% off all products from the site. Free shipping on orders of $100 or more. Dead Soxy is launching a pre-Black Friday sale. You don't want to miss out. Socks make great stocking stuffers for a limited time. Go to deadsoxy.com. Receive 35% off site-wide with promo code EARLYBIRD. Whether you're giving your family, your friends, or yourself a gift, give something they'll look forward to wearing over and over again. Everyone needs to experience the difference a quality sock makes. Go to deadsoxy.com. Enter the code EARLYBIRD at checkout to get 35% off. Got one more weekend in the Grove. You want to make sure that you're prepared with the Game Changer patches. It's the only two-patch system available in the market today to stop hangovers before they start. The warm-up patch is used before or while you drink. The overtime patch is used after you've been drinking to recover while you sleep. The all-natural ingredients keep you in the game and ready for the next play. Go to GameChangerPatch.com. Enter the promo code REBELGROVE20, REBELGROVE20 at checkout for 20% off your purchase. And we're brought to you by ACS, Automation and Control Systems, LLC, Clay McNutt, Baldwin, Mississippi. They established it in 2013. It's a complete electrical control system solution provider and a Rockwell Automation recognized system integrator. ACS has a full-time dedicated emergency service and troubleshooting staff and a UL508A panel shop. They can custom tailor software packages, custom design electrical control panel solutions, and much more. To learn more about ACS, go to acsllcms.com or call 662-601-4381.
Podcast also brought to you by Johnston Hill Creamery. That's johnstonhillcreamery.com. I'm right off Molly Bar in Oxford on White Oak Lane. Remember to get your Thanksgiving pre-orders in. Let them take care of that for you. 662-419-9201 or cheese at johnstonhillcreamery.com. Pick up Wednesday, November 24th. Deadline to order Friday, November 19th at 5 p.m. Charcuterie tray, artisanal cheese tray, pumpkin cheesecake, buttermilk pie, and more. And then the catering and tailgate menu still active for this weekend as well. You just need 24 hours notice. They will deliver right there to your spot on campus, take care of you. Charcuterie trays, cheese crates, salads, sandwiches, plenty of desserts, including the hand pies, the buttermilk pie as well. So plenty of things there. Again, johnstonhillcreamery.com, 662-419-9201. So a couple different things in the financial realm from yesterday. If you remember back during the summer, they had the decision from the Austin case versus the NCAA. The NCAA losing that case as they frankly lost to they've lost several things. They've struggled a little bit in court here lately, but it allows schools to pay student athletes beyond just tuition, essentially taking care of educational benefits. On paper, we're talking tutors, computers, study abroad, internships, stuff, but it comes down to financial compensation for those things. Ole Miss, one of the first schools to kind of get those checks out this week. It's completely voluntary. I would assume all SEC schools are doing it. I know some Power Five, though, are not. They're not putting this line item in their budget for 2022, which I would assume would be a recruiting failure on the part of those schools.
Some of them probably don't have the money.
Yeah, somebody on Twitter yesterday said it came out to like $1.4 million or something like that if you had the whole...
Well, I promise you there are Power Five schools that don't have $1.4
million. Yeah. Well, I would assume a lot of them even don't have it like as a line item. Just saying, hey, we need to do it and figure it out, and you just kind of go from there. Because if you don't do it, what it looks like. So Ole Miss this week will cut checks for $2,990 to all student athletes. Some of them will have loan payback instead of a check or whatever. It's kind of complicated depending on that, but most will just straight get a check from this decision. They'll also get another check for the same amount next semester as well. So it comes out to $5,980 for the year is what it is. So that is the cap on if you're just getting payment. If you've got other educational things that go above that, there's no cap on that. If you can prove that there are education related expenses to the student athlete beyond the $5,980, you can go as high as that takes care of that. So anyway, yeah, just that's out today. So I tweeted about it, put it on the message board yesterday. So Ole Miss, one of the first teams to kind of get that out there from that standpoint. And then this morning, I remember this being the case, but I went back and looked at it. Lane Kiffin makes $150,000 if he beats Vanderbilt this week. Ole Miss put a clause in his contract where he gets $150,000 for every win over four in SEC play in a season. So essentially, for a winning season in SEC play, he gets $150,000, and then they sweeten it by the same number for each win beyond that. Ole Miss has had five SEC winning seasons since the conference expanded in 1992. Off the top of my head, I don't necessarily remember that. Well, yeah, I do. It's 92, 03, 08, 14, and 15 are the five for that. So he gets potentially $300,000 next 2 weeks. His base pay was fairly low compared to what you would assume for this year. It was only 4.5, but he gets that $500,000 retention bonus if he's still the coach on December 31st, which would push it to $5 million for that. He made $100,000 for beating Louisville the first game of the season because he gets $100,000 for winning any Power 5 regular season game. It looks like I wrote this in a way to be a little bit complicated because I needed to get more clarification on this last night. He gets up to $200,000 for season ticket sales. He gets $50,000 at 30, $50,000 at 35, $50,000 at 37.5, and $50,000 at 40 for a max of $200,000 to hit the whole thing.
Gotcha.
Ole Miss sold 40,629 tickets, but that number includes student tickets. I'm not 100% positive that his bonus structure includes student tickets, so that's something that I did not get clarified, but I probably should, so I don't know whether that's an extra $100,000 in his pocket or not from that. If you give him the $500,000 on the retention, his $5 million salary for this season is 19th nationally is where it's tied. It ties Brian Harsin for 19th nationally. The SEC has five of the top eight salaries. I know nobody's shocked by that at all in the country. He would be the fifth highest paid coach in the Big Ten. He would be the second highest paid coach in the ACC behind Dabo Swinney. And then two of the top 10 coaches have actually already been fired, Ed Orgeron and Gary Patterson, who were making top 10 money heading into the season. And obviously Dan Mullen's seat is a little warm in Gainesville. He's also, I think, like 775, something like that on his salary. So Lane has a chance to get up around 6, 585, 5859 for the year if they do get into an Access Bowl. He gets $250,000 if they make an Access Bowl, either 100 or 150 in the other bowls that are possibilities for the Rebels. I think the Citrus is in its own category at 150, and then a bunch of those other ones are at 100 because they've bypassed the really small bowls. They're not going to Birmingham. They're not going to Shreveport. Those are $50,000 bonuses for Kiffin. And I've got the term sheets for the next three seasons, but I have a feeling that if Lane Kiffin's the head coach, that will be ripped up and
they will
redo something. So I don't think that's overly relevant what he's currently planning to make next season. Or 2023 or 2024. So, yeah.
Kyle Wilson, thanks for the super chat. He says, can Nick Saban have a player endorse his Mercedes dealership through NIL? Yeah.
I guess. Yeah, I don't know why not.
I don't see why not.
I mean, paperwork's clean.
Yeah, I mean, to my knowledge, they've not done that. But, yeah, they could.
Yeah, I mean.
I'm trying to think about it. There's no reason. There's absolutely no reason that a player couldn't endorse a Mercedes dealership, regardless of who owns it.
Yeah, I don't know why they couldn't. If there's some sort of coach-owned business issue, I'm not aware of it, at least.
No one's ever mentioned that to me.
Yeah. Okay. What do you think is realistic? Where do you think Kiffin might get bumped to? What's your gut?
The base?
Yeah, whatever.
6.5.
Keep the same type of escalators in?
Yeah, sure, because if you're winning.
The 1 and the 150. Yeah, you'll take who cares.
Yeah. My guess, they bump him up about $1.5 million. Now, if I'm Lane, and I'm especially if I win these next couple of games, if I'm Lane, I don't do anything. I had a mailbag question about is if he and Keith stopped talking. And I answered, honestly, I have no idea. But if I'm Lane, I'm not agreeing to anything until I see how the carousel resets.
Yeah, it's hard to see him signing a thing right now.
Why would you?
Yeah.
I mean, what, it has nothing to do with does he want to leave or not. No. You want to get your market value. I mean, let's say the rumors are true. And they're rumors. But let's just say that the rumor is true that Lincoln Riley goes to LSU for $12 million a year. Okay?
That's like $3 million more than the current guys being paid now.
So everybody else is going to go, hey, if he's worth 12, what am I worth? And so if you're Lane, you would certainly want to have that weapon in your arsenal at that point.
Ooh.
And I don't know how far Ole Miss can go before it's not comfortable. I'm guessing not a lot further than what I just said.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to see. Anything beyond that is... Ooh.
And again, that's a rumor, and I'm saying it's a rumor. So before anybody goes off and said that I reported it, or when it doesn't happen, that, well, you said, no, I said it's a rumor. But it is a rumor that's flying around in coaching circles and media circles. It's both. Because I've heard it independent of each other, that they are prepared to make a massive offer to someone.
The top 10 right now for salary, for anybody curious. Nick Saban, now I'm assuming these are base pays.
Pays, yes.
Nick Saban, 9753.
Because I'm told he makes more than that.
Sure. 9.7 for Saban. Eddie O at 9.012. So if hits, that's out. Put a line through it.
Yep.
Dabo Swinney, 9.508. David Shaw, 8.924.
Are you serious?
$8.9 million for David Shaw.
Wow. Stanford. Good for him.
Yeah, I don't know that he's getting – I don't know if the Cardinals getting his money's worth there for Shaw. Done a nice job, but ooh. Lincoln Riley, 7.6. Dan Mullen, 7.57. Jimbo, 7.5. Kirby, 7.1.
And Jimbo's already agreed to a big bump.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Jimbo's up to at least 9 next year, regardless of where he is.
James Franklin, 7. And Ryan Day, 6.6. Those are your highest paid base salaries in the country. Most expensive coaches to fire, Jimbo at the top of the list. $95 million to axe Jimbo. $95
million. Wouldn't that be great? You get up every day and go, honey, maybe today's the day they fire me.
Yeah, either I do my job well and I get paid whatever, or they fire me and I have the GDP of a small third world country.
Hey, say your prayers that we get fired tonight.
Well, it's like back to our thing. Like the AD calls you in his office and goes, hey, I got some bad news. You go,
Hold on. Because I've got some confetti waiting. Do I need to go get it?
We no longer require your services. Okay.
When Jimbo loses the game like the one Saturday at Ole Miss, then what are you going to do, fire me? You should.
There is a certain confidence you wake up for every day with that, isn't there?
Yeah, Mark says the cost of living in Palo Alto probably isn't cheap, but I think I could pull it off at 9 point whatever million.
That's still too expensive for David Shaw.
I think I could make it work comfortably at that salary.
Yeah, David Dabo at 47, Saban at 38 for whatever that's worth. Day at 28 and Matt Campbell at 28 as well.
What's Campbell's salary?
I don't have his salary in front of me. The expense to fire him is $28 million.
Okay.
And then, hold on, I will. Matt Campbell's making $4 million at Iowa State.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you Matt Campbell's about to get a raise.
The Big 12's top five is Riley, Patterson. It's 6-1 for Patterson. Sarkisian at 5.45, Gundy at 4.375, and Matt Campbell at 4. So those are your Big 12 highest paid coaches. Number 2 in the ACC is Pat Narduzzi at Pitt. Number 3 was Justin Fuente, but now that is over as well.
Narduzzi's done a nice job.
He really has. I mean, look, Kenny Pickett's been a hell of a story for whatever that's worth.
Sure, of course.
I mean,
worked his way into the – I don't know if you saw the interview with Eric Edholm last week, but Pickett's moved his way into the first round.
Yeah. Sarkisian is making 5.45 at Texas. They probably don't feel like they're getting the money's worth.
You got to wonder whether he feels like that's even worth it at this point. He's officially entered like this one of the gates of hell there in Austin.
I mean, the honeymoon phase lasted. There wasn't one.
There's not one.
Yeah, like there was not a honeymoon phase.
And the you suck phase just started last week. That's
it really has, hasn't it?
That's, yeah. I love the threads on there where they're like, is this rock bottom? Can we say this is rock bottom? When can we hit rock bottom?
And every week's a little more rock bottom.
Well, and it was interesting because Del Conte, the AD there, sent out an email to Texas fans, you know, one of those rah-rah kind of deals. It talks about how there's just no depth on the roster. The roster's not very talented. He's trying to run some interference for his boy.
We're still blaming Tom Herman.
Well, and here's the thing. If you're going to do that, and I'm in favor of doing it, like I thought this is where Ross and them really screwed Matt Luke. You got to do it beforehand.
Yeah.
That's the email you got to send out in August that goes, hey, listen. But they don't do that.
We're hoping for the best.
But they don't do that because they're afraid fans won't buy tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get the fans to buy the tickets, and then the product sucks, and you come back and you're like, hey, listen. You know, the previous guy sort of ran it into the ground. Yeah, but
during the Longhorn Club meetings, that was not.
Yeah,
the...
but yeah, in the Longhorn Club meetings, when you were the one up there doing the horns and stuff, you were telling us how excited you were about this team. You told us, and now you come back and you're like, no.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody's got to be Theo Epstein, and I know college and pro's different, but in pro, you're trying to get people to buy tickets too.
Yeah.
And Theo Epstein's point blank said, we're going to suck. And it's going to last a little while. And the guys that help us get good, they're going to get traded this year. Ryan Dempster was having an all-star season, and they traded him.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who was helping them win, gone. That takes a pair.
Mm-hmm. Look at a little mock draft in a second. Before we do, I'll tell you about Northeast Spark, NESPARC, service people across rural communities. Two packages, the Ignite, the 100 Mbps, or the Blaze, the 1 gig that powers the Clark Ford Studio, your hometown team, bringing you world-class broadband, NESpark.com, 662-238-3159. Phone services available, portal controls, network security, and much more. So call the office for details again at 662-238-3159.
Pinpoint Commercial Real Estate is based out of Jackson, Mississippi. They service the entire state and all commercial asset classes such as retail, office, industrial, and land. This week's property spotlight is on Paragon Center in Ridgeland, Mississippi. Paragon is comprised of 150,000 square feet of Class A office space located at Highland Colony Parkway, minutes from the new Costco, Walk-On Sports Bistro, and I-55. This section of Highland Colony is experiencing substantial commercial growth. It's located alongside some of the most affluent neighborhoods in Mississippi. If you want to learn more, give Sam and BB a call, 601-586-3220. Blue Delta Jeans is hosting the inaugural Coastal Cup Waterfowl Tournament January the 19th through the 21st at the Bay Flats Lodge on the San Antonio Bay of Texas. This competitive team duck hunting event will include 2 days of Texas coastal waterfowl hunting, meals, drinks, and lodging, two pairs of custom jeans for every participant. Special guests include Josh Raggio and Barton Ramsey. So if you want to learn more about this or register your team, contact Blake Kokenauer at blake@bluedeltajeans.com. Also brought to you by Lamons Fine Jewelry, Lamons at 1126 North Lamar Boulevard in Oxford. If you're coming up this weekend for the Vanderbilt game and you want to get a little shopping done, you know it's going to be the holiday season here pretty quick, run by Lamons. They've been serving the Oxford area for almost 3/4 of a century. Engagement rings, wedding rings, fine jewelry, watches, pearls, everything is at Lamons. It's the gold standard in fine jewelry. LamonsFineJewelry.com or 662-234-2777. We'll have hand raise guys tomorrow night around 7. That's brought to you by Comer Heating and Air, Southern Air Conditioning and Heating. Different names, same great products and services. If you live in Oxford, Tupelo, or the surrounding area, call Comer at 662-801-1777. If you live in Hernando, Memphis, or that area, call 662-429-4429. We'll have a soft verbal later in the week. It's brought to you by the College Corner. It's your one-stop Rebel Shop. Two locations in the Jackson area in Ridgeland. It's next to Fleet Feet and Flowood. It's next to Half Shell. If you don't live in Jackson, it's okay. Go to collegecornerstore.com. Plus, you can find them on Facebook and Instagram. Whether you're tailgating in Oxford or home gating with friends and family, the College Corner has you covered for game day, the largest selection of Rebel gear in central Mississippi. And we're brought to you by Pinnacle. We'll have a Mind on My Money tomorrow. That's the plan, at least. That's brought to you by Pinnacle. They've got clients in multiple states, advisors in several states as well. They provide detailed, specialized investment management, financial planning, retirement planning for individuals and businesses, and much more. It's mypinwealth.com, mypinwealth.com. I had some people asking about travel just yesterday. Like, Neil, who's that travel guy? It's John Edwards, Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. Get in touch with John. Just give him some parameters. Give him a budget. Tell him what you're thinking about. And then sit back and do nothing, because he's going to present a ton of options for you, as detailed as you want them to be. And no, you don't have to live in or near Memphis to take advantage of his services. 901-494-3387 or jedwards at regencytravel.net.
Podcast is brought to you by G&M Pharmacy and Tyson Drugs. G&M there on South Lamar and Oxford. Tyson Drugs on the Square in Holly Springs. They take care of you, deliver locally here in the Oxford area, and offer medicine. Your prescriptions the same day each month, so you have what you need when you need it there with G&M and Tyson Drugs. Again, 662-236-2222. ESPN Plus put their latest mock draft out this morning. First round for 2022. What has become a pretty big consensus at this point. Kayvon Thibodeau, the defensive end from Oregon, the number one overall pick. That's been the case for pretty much every mock draft I've seen here in the last few weeks, if nothing else. Defensive end in the draft, too. Aiden Hutchinson, the edge rusher in Michigan. Number two to the Texans, Derek Stingley Jr., obviously the corner at LSU. To the Jets at number three as of right now. Evan Neal at Alabama, the offensive tackle, that's just a mountain of a man. Number four to the Jags, and then the OT at NC State, Ikem Ekwonu, there for the Giants at number five via the Bears. That's the Bears pick, the Giants.
Okay.
So the Eagles get the Dolphins number six pick. Defense too. I mean, defense over and over and over in this draft. First quarterback in this draft, Matt Corral. They have him going number eight overall to the Washington football team.
Oh.
So.
Matt would fit right into the place that can't really figure out a mascot, right?
It fits. Hey, guys. Said, this is not as strong of a quarterback class we've seen in the past few years, and Corral's been one of the few that's remained consistent throughout the season. Still in search of a franchise quarterback after Dwayne Haskins didn't work out in round one in 19. Washington can get its pick of the signal callers in this class. Corral's blossomed in his third season in Kiffin's offense. He's an electric thrower with a quick release, and he's unlocked the next stage of his development after throwing 11 interceptions in two games combined last season. He's only thrown two this season. As an improved decision maker, Corral has positioned himself to be atop the quarterback rankings. So that's that from ESPN. DeMarvin Leal, who everybody saw last weekend, the defensive lineman out of A&M, is number nine to the Falcons.
That dude's a stud.
Yeah, he's all right. I mean, I think that'll
man, probably, oh man.
I think that's probably going to be okay.
Oof.
He's getting him just out of the game for a few plays was huge the other night. Anytime you could be out there without him out there was a
for sure.
Was a win.
He's a great player.
I mean, you're starting to see it really get between Corral and Pickett. That's really the only names I've seen.
Yeah, and I've watched it all. I like Pickett, but I'd take Corral 10 times out of 10 over Pickett.
They have Pickett going number 12 to the Panthers. That's how they have this thing working out in this one. Let's see. I'm trying to see. Basically saying that he's done a good job, but he's not as physically gifted as Corral is the reason.
Exactly. Good quarterback.
Yeah.
Plays really hard. Competitor, you can tell he's a smart kid. I mean, there's a lot to like about him, but no, he doesn't have Matt's arm talent.
Mm-hmm.
Good player, though. I think he'll play in the NFL.
They do have Malik Willis very high, quarterback out of Liberty, 14 to the Broncos in this one. It would worry me. If I'm doing franchise quarterback, I just can't quite get there.
The best fit for him would be to go someplace where you're not going to get jammed into the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Play with the guy that's a veteran that still has a little juice left in the tank and work on your accuracy. He's a hell of a competitor. He's a hell of an athlete. I would just like to see him become a little bit more pure passer. This is going to sound like a knock on Hugh, and I guess it is. You could look at those two quarterbacks and tell which one was coached by a quarterback coach and which one was coached to run a system.
Yeah. What's going on in Denver with their quarterback situation? It's Bridgewater and Locke, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Drew's good.
We got Drew back
there.
What's
wrong with Drew?
The Drew bobblehead was completely fine. It just wasn't the Ed Oliver bobblehead. That's one of the better bobbleheads we've had is Ed on the horse.
Yeah, I need to move Ed to a more high-profile spot.
Yeah, that. I mean, we got the Liberty Hellman in a better spot than Ed.
Yeah, I guess so. You can't really see it, though.
Oh, can you not?
No.
Okay. Let's see. What else we got?
See, it has to go up like, if I turned it up like this, you could see it.
Gotcha. Mock draft, anything else in the SEC? Charles Cross, the tackle at Mississippi State, 17 to the Dolphins. They've got the 49ers pick there at 17.
Yeah, Cross is a good player.
A&M offensive lineman Kenyon Green, number 819 to the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
They have the Saints taking Jahan Dotson, the wide receiver out of Penn State at 21. They certainly need pass catchers. Jordan Davis, the very much ballyhooed interior defensive lineman from the Georgia Bulldogs. Number 22 to the L.A. Chargers.
Wow, they got that guy falling to 22?
I'd feel good at 22 if I could grab Jordan Davis.
Dang.
I'd like Vince McMahon strut up to the podium with my ticket there. Yes, sir. We're ready to go. Let's see. Drake London, the wideout at USC, that got banged up, is out for the season. The Chiefs at 24. Treylon Burks, 26 to the Lions, Arkansas wide receiver.
I'd like him on my team.
That's the Rams pick. Because the Rams never have draft picks anymore. Buccaneers taking Auburn cornerback Roger McCreary at 27.
Yeah.
And let's see. The edge rusher from South Carolina, Kingsley Ingabear, 29. Jameson Williams, wide receiver, Bama at 30 to the Bills. And then N'Kobe Dean, number 32 to the Tennessee Titans. There's a lot of volatility on Dean. I've seen him as high as like 11, and I've seen him as low as 32. Like 20 picks in between where I've seen him, depending on different people.
He had one hell of a game against Tennessee.
He has hell of a games over and over and over and over again. Yeah, Will Anderson not being draft eligible is one of the scarier things for college football. He's actually he's back next year.
Well, it makes predicting the 23 NFL draft pretty easy.
I feel pretty good about him being high.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Let's see. So just a little bit there from that. Anybody's curious, Billy Napier makes $2 million, by the way, Louisiana Lafayette.
He's about to make more than that.
You think he's finally out this time?
I do. I think he's the next coach at Arizona State.
Where is it if it's not there?
Depends on what opens up as the carousel turns.
We didn't go back to this. Why do you think Mullen's safe yesterday? We didn't talk about this any more than that.
So what I'm hearing.
They can't be happy.
They're not happy. Money's not there. Don't really know who they go get. It's not a certainty as to who you go get. A lot of people who made that hire still don't want to eat crow on it.
Holding out a little bit.
Hoping. Holding out for hope.
The problem is that they're... ceiling has fallen to a level. It's not even necessarily that they haven't played well or they beat Samford 70-52. It's not anything about that. It's that between his recruiting issues, the talent they have on the field, and just the landscape, you're making the decision whether or not you want to keep a coach that has no chance in hell of beating Kirby Smart in Georgia.
I know.
That's the question.
Yeah.
It's related to
but who would you go? So let's play the Florida game.
Yeah, sure.
Who you going to get right now, who you can get, who not only can out-coach, but it's got to be a recruiting guy. Who do you go get? Who's the automatic guy that walks in there and recruits at the same level that Georgia does?
Well, that doesn't exist.
Well, there's your problem.
That absolutely does not exist.
So there's your problem. You pay Mullen $10 million to go away, and now who do you get?
Sit on it for a year.
And wait.
Maybe you're the fish in the next carousel.
Maybe somebody opens up that's not open today. Maybe somebody proves a little something to you that hasn't been proven today.
What's their ceiling? James Franklin?
I mean,
and I don't even know that he takes that. Frankly, Penn State might be a better job.
It's the same job.
It is. Just south or north, they could pick.
Scott Strickland's going to hire James Franklin?
Scott Strickland's one bad hire away from being out himself.
That's my point. And so do you rush that hire and make it a bad one and push yourself on out the door? Or do you buy yourself some time?
He can buy himself 1 year of job security by not – he's not getting fired by not firing Dan Mullen this year.
Yeah. And Dan's not a terrible coach. Well, he didn't become a terrible coach. And there is a possibility that they bounce back next season. They're bad right now because they don't have a quarterback, among other things. Their defense sucks. He got a bad defensive coordinator. He's got to make that work. He's got to fix his staff. But it feels like, and that's what I'm hearing, and I could be wrong. I don't cover Florida. I don't invest a ton of time in it. I'm not sitting around taking every phone call and making every phone call and all the stuff that I would do if I were covering an Ole Miss search. But I think Dan's going to get a chance to revamp his staff.
And maybe he was told that when he fired the other two dudes. Because otherwise you're just...
Could be.
You're just firing two guys to fire two guys when you have 3 or 4 weeks left in the season.
Yeah, just showing the fans that, hey, there's going to be some bloodletting at the end of this.
And, I mean, Grantham's a mercenary, but I'm like, saying Hevesy's been with him forever.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of his dudes.
So maybe he's about to go out and get
I mean, that's Houston firing Markeson.
I mean, maybe he's going to go out and get some recruiting guys, guys that were primarily recruiters. Maybe he's telling people, hey, we can recruit better. I mean, they damn well better if they're going to pull it off, but... You know, maybe they're saying this is a one-off. You get a one-off. Maybe he gets that. Maybe he gets his chance to revamp his staff, and then if next season's a disaster, you move.
Take Ole Miss out of it, even just for the sake of my question.
Okay.
What's the most likely SEC job to come open that's not? This carousel. A&M if Jimbo leaves.
Yeah. Although I will tell you, I'm starting to really believe Jimbo. I mean, just for the record.
I don't know why you would leave.
So if it's not that, it's not Auburn. It's not Alabama. It's not Arkansas. It's not Mississippi State. It's not Ole Miss. If we're taking Ole Miss out of it. Texas A&M's not firing Jimbo. Go to the East. It's not Kentucky. It's not South Carolina. Unless Shane Beamer were to leave South Carolina to go to Virginia Tech. It's not Tennessee unless Heupel could get the Oklahoma job if Lincoln Riley left. It's obviously not Georgia. It's not Vanderbilt. I don't think Missouri's making that move right now. So, no, not many openings.
And I don't see, other than maybe Florida nationally, barring just the carousel, some national job still coming open that throws everything out of kilter.
I mean, really. Jeffrey and I talked about this last week. I mean, there's a few that are out there that could make things interesting. I mean, UCLA is interesting if they – fire Kelly and say, hey, we're going to really spend money. But the odds of that are not high. I mean, if the Oklahoma job does open and they say, hey, we're going to go get a big name guy, I think they probably could, and that could make the carousel really turn. But I don't know who that big name guy is. If you're Oklahoma, do you hire Matt Campbell? I mean, I don't know. I tend to think Oklahoma is going to rise in stature when it joins the SEC. For whatever reason, I think
they're getting into actually winning.
Yes, I think they're going to thrive in a way that Texas is not. And I don't know why I feel that way. I just do.
So you think they're on the podium equal to Bama or Georgia in this current context?
Like day one?
Well, no, but whatever you're talking about.
Potentially.
And again, things will change. I mean, Alabama will be a mediocre program at some point.
If you told me that joining the SEC lets Oklahoma become more national in its recruiting, I buy it.
Okay.
That Oklahoma could...
They'd be able to get in the South a little more. They'd be able to do some things.
If you tell me that Oklahoma could recruit at a level commiserate with what Georgia recruits at today, I would buy it.
Yeah.
Not right away, but a couple years, three years
general,
in.
Yeah, sure.
And for whatever reason, I just don't know that Texas knows how to get out of its own way.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Oklahoma's better at getting out of its own way than Texas is.
There's no sign Texas is at all.
Yeah, I mean, Oklahoma's dominated the Big 12. I know they've lost a couple of games or whatever, but they've dominated the Big 12 for the better part of...
Again, 9 Big 12 titles in the last 12 years.
Yeah, they've dominated the league. And so people that are like, well, they won't have that kind of success in the SEC. No, it'll be much different. It'll be harder, but... The commitment is there. It's in spades.
I would be really intrigued to see where they would go if Riley did leave.
Yeah, I would too.
I'm fascinated by that.
Yeah, everyone does the hypo thing, and to me that's the easy thing, and I don't know that that was necessarily what they would do, and that's not a knock on hypo. I kind of wonder if that job opened up. Oklahoma.
I don't see hypo leaving Tennessee after 1 year.
To go to Oklahoma? Yeah, he'd go.
You think he'd go?
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, sorry, I'm going home.
Well, in a million ways. Home.
God, they'd hate him like Kiffin quickly, wouldn't they? I mean, it would turn into Lane Part 2 over there.
I mean,
the more I say that, you're right. Yeah, stupid.
Yeah, it's a much better job.
Yeah.
If you ask 100 coaches, you can either be the coach at Oklahoma or the coach at Tennessee. Take your pick. 100 are going to say OU.
Yeah. That fractured Tennessee fan base.
Oof.
Now I need it. Now I'm excited. Can we knock that out? Can we get Oklahoma to hire Josh Heupel?
But I mean, if you're Oklahoma, don't you make a couple of calls if Lincoln leaves? I mean, aren't you making a few phone calls? I mean, I'll tell you, I'm calling Matt Rhule. Hey, are you cool in the NFL? Is everything good? Because if it's not,
it probably is. But okay,
okay. If I'm them, I'm calling. I'm absolutely talking to Luke Fickell. I'm talking to Matt Campbell. Hell, I call Ryan Day. Is there any chance that you're just not happy at Ohio State? I mean, I'm making those calls.
Yeah. Because my fan base isn't going to go, oh, my God, we called her. No, okay, go get the dudes.
Yeah, go do what you got to do.
That's always the stranger admin thing is, oh, God, we don't want them to know we called. No, hey, I shot my shot.
Yeah.
Hey, whatever.
No, we went to the Victoria's Secret showcase and asked every one of the girls out.
And you're Oklahoma. Somebody might say yes, one of those.
Well, odds are Oklahoma goes to the Victoria's Secret thing and they leave with one of the girls. I mean, that's pretty likely, in fact.
Yeah.
So I don't know that Heupel's the immediate hire. I know they like him there.
Sure.
Is Heupel the great recruiter that you would want going into the SEC? I don't know. Maybe he is. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's the line of coaches that would privately inquire about that job is a long line.
In the dozens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd want to talk to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because you're Oklahoma, you can recruit West. Now you can you obviously recruit Texas. You can recruit the Midwest, and you can recruit the South because now you can tell those kids, hey, we're gonna play a lot of games in your part of the country. Oklahoma's a force, potentially.
Podcast brought to you in part by Visit Oxford. Visit OxfordMS.com. Go to the events page and see what's going on this week and every week. Tunes around town back on Friday night, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock. Multiple locations around the square in downtown Oxford for local musical artists as you get maybe some takeout, maybe some dessert, and check out what should be a lively lively night of pre-SEC football festivities. Also, Double Decker Bus Tours back 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock. There on a Friday, and remember, you get $100 off a pair of Blue Delta jeans if you take advantage of that adult ticket. So visit OxfordMS.com/events.
Also brought to you by OPA, Oxford's newest restaurant on the square. Delicious menu featuring gyros, wraps, kebabs, fresh redfish, lamb chops, and more. An awesome bar serving your favorite handcrafted cocktails and frozen libations, an amazing candlelit patio, and more. They're at 306 South Lamar, just south of the Square Courthouse in Oxford. Grenada Nissan's the place to go if you're looking for a Nissan vehicle. They have a complete list of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles, great lease deals as well. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. I've got a mailbag up on the site. RebelGrove.com. It's brought to you by Whitney McNutt, Tommy Morgan Incorporated Realtors, serving you for all your real estate needs in Oxford and Tupelo. Whitney sells condos, land, commercial, and residential family homes. You can reach her at 662-567-2573 or 662-842-3844. We're also brought to you by Service Specialist with offices in Ridgeland, Canton, Jackson, and Oxford. Service Specialist has been connecting candidates and employers since 1967. It's the oldest staffing company in Mississippi. So whether you're a new college grad or seasoned professional, whether you're in engineering, dentistry, accounting, law, manufacturing, or whatever, contact Service Specialist. If you're a recent grad, reach out to them. They're always looking for candidates that have potential and want to learn and get their foot in the door with growth opportunities. Service Specialist always knows about jobs that never get advertised. They always have names and resumes available that are not out there in the public sector for privacy concerns and whatnot. So reach out to them. No referral fees for those searching for a job. You have nothing to lose. Call them at 662-832-5138 or go to servicespecialistltd.com. And we're brought to you by Alpha Specialties. It is your trailer-specific professional, 1670 Highway 80 in Pearl, Mississippi. They've got Load Trail. They've got Hallmark cargo trailers. They can work with third parties to have game day trailers and concession trailers built for you. They have spare tires and wheels starting at just $100. Full selection of trailer parts and accessories. They do all types of truck accessories. They also repair all types of trailers. So give them a call, 601-932-9798, or check them out at alphaofms.com. Also brought to you by The Rogue. You want to make sure you check out their college collection there at The Rogue, 4450 I-55 North in Jackson, or therogue.com. And don't forget, you have until Friday to register for Oxford Park Commission Youth Basketball, ages 7 to 15, $50 per participant. The season runs January 3rd through February the 24th. No more than two games in a week for teams, Monday nights, Tuesday nights, Thursday nights. Go to oxfordparkcommission.com to sign up your son or daughter. And we're brought to you by Joey Erickson at Heron Gear Autoplex. Let Joey help you find the vehicle you're looking for at a price you can afford. Choose from a full selection of new Chevrolet, BMW, Lexus, and Infiniti, or get a great deal on numerous brands of reliable pre-owned vehicles as well. 662-571-2367 or 1685 High Street in Jackson.
So I picked this out of your mailbag, and it's the one that I'm most disturbed by out of all the different questions, is that a local high school theater group is doing Stealing Home as their theater production?
I don't think it's here.
No, I get that.
But somewhere, yeah. I mean,
who's?
Why?
Could we not just do Grease? Is something wrong with this West Side Story?
Somebody wanting to really dive into the whole Stealing Home thing, and the father dies and the mom goes nuts and...
So
the kid gets
so Stealing
troubled.
Home, for anybody that's unaware, which I would assume most people are somewhat aware of this movie.
Do we even have to talk about it? It's so bad. It's so depressing.
It's not even necessarily a bad movie, but so late 80s, 87, 88, something like that. Mark Harmon is the star of this one. I think Jonathan Silverman's in it. Jodie Foster is in this movie, but it's just like a cameo thing. So I pulled it up. Focuses on a failed baseball player, Billy Wyatt, who discovers that his childhood sweetheart, Kate Chandler, has died of suicide. Billy must confront the past via reminisce and nostalgia while also dealing with grief as he embarks on a journey to fulfill one of Kate's last wishes, that he spreads her ashes. It premiered August 26, 1988. It had a $14 million budget and made $7.46 million in the box office. I don't understand, frankly, even unless it was a play beforehand or something, I don't even understand why this is a theater production. I mean, I'm really shocked by this when you're going through the list and said, hey, let's have high school kids do this story of all stories. I mean, yeah, nobody's getting up at the end and going, oh, wow, that was amazing. Clap, clap, clap,
no.
Clap, 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 clap.
No.
Neil also used this to trash Boyhood, one of the better movies of the last decade, but it's fine, whatever.
I mean, we can fight about this, but
you hate that movie.
Truly despise it.
From a straight up though story, I get it's depressing as all hell. I understand that. It's one of the most depressing stories of the last
I know,
decade.
And you're the one that's defending it.
It's a good movie though. Critically, that is a good film.
Okay.
You'll never watch it again.
God, no.
Okay. I remember seeing Stealing Home when I was probably like 7 or 8 years old, having no idea what the hell the movie was actually about.
Yeah.
But you watched this like in high school or college, like when it came out?
Stealing Home? Yeah, yeah. I think I was in college, probably.
But you didn't watch it over and over again? Like,
no.
That's a one time and out.
Yeah.
So you haven't seen it since 1990 or something?
I think I've seen it on TV and like tortured through parts of it. The boy has a thing for his babysitter. I mean, some of it's just... But it's all set in this morose...
No, the whole tone of the movie is almost like sepia and dark and like cloudy.
Well, it's all about spreading ashes and reliving old high school stuff. And I don't know, it's kind of depressing. His dad died in a car wreck or whatnot. And that kind of really messed up his life. His mom went from being like really stable to dating other guys, and he would see her dating other guys, and it would piss him off. And
yeah, Will says, I'd rather walk outside and watch my dogs get run over 101 by one than watch that movie again.
That might be the only thing that would make me watch that movie again.
If those were the options.
And I would tell the dogs the whole time, I hope you know this is for you.
So... It's brought up in the thread. We'll close here. Matt Corral, Will Rogers.
One's a really good system quarterback right now. Yeah. He's a smart kid. He's running a system. And the system has proven against certain teams that it works. And he's super accurate. He's playing with a ton of confidence. They've got some good receivers. To Leach's credit, they've mixed in just enough running game to keep teams off balance a little bit. They're good up front. We talked about the cross kid. Corral's a first-round NFL draft
choice. Does the winner of the Egg Bowl win the trophy?
No, Matt should win it no matter what.
Okay.
I mean, no, I don't. The politics in this state with those awards are such that I pay no attention to it at all.
I stopped completely after, God rest his soul, I mean, seriously, Juan Joseph beat Michael Loren Parade Jerry that year where you went.
Come on.
Okay.
Okay.
Because Juan was the most shot guy in the room. And the winner, and he's like looking around going, hold on a minute.
Yeah.
Well, hold on. What?
I did not prepare a speech.
Yeah.
I never gave the speech a thought. No, it's politics.
And if you told me Will Rogers turns into a actually really elite quarterback down the road.
At the college level?
Yeah. I mean, if you told me he had some pro potential, I'll buy it. Okay. He's still young.
Okay.
Sure.
Maybe. He doesn't have anything resembling Matt's arm talent.
No. He doesn't flick it like that.
The ball comes out of Matt's hands in a way that I'm not sure people fully appreciate.
The release is one of the better ones you'll see anywhere.
It's why when people talk about him now at 10, and Eric Edholm and I had this conversation last week, I understand why you put him at 8, 9, 10 right now in the draft mock drafts. When NFL people get him in a private workout, when they come to his pro day, when he goes to the combine – and they watch the ball come out of his hands, they're going to start thinking about ways to trade up.
Yeah.
Because it's a quarterback league.
Yeah, Billy, I mean, Stealing Home is not a bad... unlike Neil, if it's depressing, Neil considers it a bad movie. That's pretty much the rule here, is the way this works. If it's a comedy, it's automatically good. And if it's a drama that's sad, it's bad.
If the judgment is, would you watch it again voluntarily? No.
Because it's sad.
Yeah. Now, look, it's better than that god-awful Boyhood movie.
Okay. Because Boyhood does just kick you in the teeth over and over and over again for like 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Yeah. And it goes on forever.
Just when you think nothing else can happen. It's bad.
I mean, literally, you get to a point just where in that movie where you're like, can everyone just die?
So we can end it.
Just go. Can we? The screen just go black and go, that's it? Everyone died?
That is an optic.
Because frankly, that ending would be better than some of than the way it ended.
In some ways, I do think that's an optics that is really funny. Is if Will Rogers wins the Connerly and then Matt gets invited to New York and finishes like third for the Heisman. That would, in some ways, really make me happy. just for the straight optics of it.
Well, that's the equivalent really here of cheering for Lincoln Riley to leave so that Josh Heupel can take the Oklahoma job, where you're just watching.
We're just asking for chaos at this point.
Well, you just want to watch mental anguish.
Yeah. The best player in the state of Mississippi, Will Rogers. Mike Krause has been invited to New York.
Yeah. I mean, the only people that are going to do that are the diehard state beat writers. Just all of them.
How's the voting work for the Connerly?
I don't know.
Can you break that down for me?
I'm not sure.
Who gets votes? I don't get a vote. Do you get a vote?
No, I don't get a vote. Are you kidding?
I don't get a vote. How do you get a vote?
I don't have any idea.
How do we get a vote? Who do we ask?
I have no clue.
Like Rick Cleveland or something?
That's probably right.
He would know.
Yeah.
Okay. We need a vote. How do we get a vote?
Does Rick still operate it?
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway. Okay. Fair enough. Mitchell says, "Boy, see, I think that's actually the worst take, Mitchell. He said, boyhood's fine. You've either got to really like it or really hate it, depending on your pensions for...
And of course it's just a movie. I mean...
Well, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we're not... Yeah, I mean, of course. If an opinion on a movie bothers you that much... I'm not saying you, Mitchell, just in general.
Yeah. It's all just a movie. It's going to be all right.
Yeah. It's just a terrible movie. Depressing as hell.
Yeah.
I watched that on a Friday night by myself. Had the house to myself
for a
weekend, then watched that. And yeah, just ruined my entire weekend. Terrible.
For some reason, we got really into talking about all those Oscar-nominated movies that year. For some reason, that's the only time we've ever done it. But that year with Boyhood... We watched pretty much everything. Because I can remember, like, Jeffrey and I went to the theater by ourselves, like, 10 times in two weeks to, like, knock out every one of those movies and kind of catch up on all of them. So,
Avery says you should email Steve Robertson. Just let him know you're interested in voting. It's a thought.
People helping people. I mean, I'll put on Twitter in a minute. How do I get a vote to the Connerly? What do I need to do? So, anyway. All right. Hope everybody has a wonderful afternoon, day, whatever. Hope you enjoy the nice weather up into the 70s again today. So enjoy your day. We'll be back in the morning. Talk to you again. Check RebelGrove.com in the meantime. Take care.